April 4th. Today, as we look into the Old Testament, we'll be reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 26 and 27. There are two rituals in chapter 26 to be observed after the nation had entered Canaan and became an agricultural society. When they had reaped their first harvest, the people were to give the first fruits to God to acknowledge Him as the Redeemer of the nation. Well, God still wants us to put Him first and give Him glory for the blessings He freely bestows on us. They were also to present the third-year tithe to help support the Levites and the poor in the land. As with the ceremony of first fruits, the people were to confess the Lord's goodness in blessing the land and giving the harvest. There's nothing wrong with special times of ceremony and celebration, especially when we make new beginnings. However, we must focus on worshiping God and not just observing a ceremony. Well, these two events remind us of the two great commandments, to love God first and then to love our neighbor. Grateful obedience is a hallmark of God's special people. And then in chapter 27 of the book of Deuteronomy, there's a ceremony, and this ceremony was observed only once after Israel entered the land and began to conquer it. It was a solemn reminder to them that obedience to God was the secret of their success. The law, God's law, was written on large stones so that everyone could read it. Now today, as we read and meditate on God's word, the Spirit writes it on our hearts and transforms us from within. The ceremony was a renewal of the nation's covenant with God. For new beginnings deserve new acts of dedication, don't they? The burnt offerings spoke of total dedication to God. The peace offerings and the meal that followed spoke of joyful fellowship with God. These were times of celebration. The curses are related to the law already given in the Ten Commandments and cover many aspects of personal life. You see, Israel's obeying the law did not deliver them from Egypt or take them into Canaan, but it did enable them to live together and enjoy the blessings of God. None of us can wholly keep God's law, of course, or fully meet all His righteous demands. So we give thanks for what Christ has done for us on the cross and what the Spirit does in our lives. And with that, let's hear what the Word of God says as we read from the Old Testament. April 4th, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through chapter 27, verse 26. When you, the Israelites, arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you have conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each harvest into a basket and bring it to the place the Lord your God chooses for His name to be honored. Go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, "With this gift, I acknowledge that the Lord your God has brought me into the land He swore to give our ancestors." The priest will then take the basket from your hand and set it before the altar of the Lord your God. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, "My ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live in Egypt. His family was few in number, but in Egypt they became a mighty and numerous nation. When the Egyptians mistreated and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard us and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with amazing power, overwhelming terror, and miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I have brought you a token of the first crops you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and worship Him. Afterward, go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration. Each third year, you must offer a special tithe of your crops. You must give these tithes to the Levites, foreigners, orphans and widows, so that they will have enough to eat in your towns. Then you must declare in the presence of the Lord your God, "I have taken the sacred gift from my house and have given it to the Levites, foreigners, orphans and widows, just as you commanded me. I have not violated or forgotten any of your commands. I have not eaten any of it while in mourning. I have not touched it while I was ceremonially unclean. And I have not offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God, and have done everything you commanded me. Look down from your holy dwelling place in heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the land you have given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as you solemnly promised our ancestors. Today the Lord your God has commanded you to obey all these laws and regulations. You must commit yourself to them without reservation. You have declared today that the Lord is your God. You have promised to obey His laws, commands, and regulations by walking in His ways and doing everything He tells you. The Lord has declared today that you are His people, His own special treasure, just as He promised, and that you must obey all His commands. And if you do, He will make you greater than any other nation. Then you will receive praise, honor, and renown. You will be a nation that is holy to the Lord your God, just as He promised. Then Moses and the leaders of Israel charged the people as follows. Keep all these commands that I am giving you today. When you cross the Jordan River and enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Then write all the terms of this law on them. I repeat, you will soon cross the river to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. When you cross the Jordan, set up these stones at Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster, as I am commanding you today. Then build an altar there to the Lord your God, using natural stones. Do not shape the stones with an iron tool. On the altar, you must offer burnt offerings to the Lord your God. Sacrifice peace offerings on it also, and feast there with great joy before the Lord your God. On the stones coated with plaster, you must clearly write all the terms of this law. Then Moses and the Levitical priests addressed all Israel as follows. O Israel, be quiet and listen. Today you have become the people of the Lord your God. So obey the Lord your God by keeping all these commands and laws that I am giving you today. That same day, Moses gave this charge to the people. When you cross the Jordan River, the tribes of Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin must stand on Mount Gerizim to proclaim a blessing over the people. And the tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali must stand on Mount Ebal to proclaim a curse. Then the Levites must shout to all the people of Israel, "Cursed is anyone who carves or casts idols and secretly sets them up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who despises father or mother." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who steals property from a neighbor by moving a boundary marker." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who is unjust to foreigners, orphans, and widows." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his father's wife, for he has violated his father." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with an animal." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his sister, whether she is the daughter of his father or his mother." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual intercourse with his mother-in-law." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who kills another person in secret." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who accepts payment to kill an innocent person." And all the people will reply, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who does not affirm the terms of this law by obeying them." And all the people will reply, "Amen." April 4th. As we turn now to our reading of the New Testament, today we'll be reading in Luke chapter 10 and chapter 11. Now, in chapter 10, this chapter asks four questions by way of personal inventory. What makes you serve? Jesus was not limited to the 12. 70 others obeyed him and helped to reap the harvest. But you know what? The laborers are still few, aren't they? And in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, we learn why. The ministry is difficult and dangerous, but it's also very rewarding. Are you obedient to his call? And then what makes you rejoice? When the disciples rejoiced over their successful ministry, Jesus told them to rejoice because they were citizens of heaven. That meant eternal life. After all, their work might not always be successful, but their salvation would never change. Jesus rejoiced because the Father's will was being accomplished in their lives. So what brings joy to your heart? And we'll also ask the question, what makes you pause? It is not difficult to discuss neighborliness in the abstract, but you know what? It costs something to be a real neighbor. Do you pause to help when you see injustice and hurt? Or like the priest and the Levite, do you look for an escape? You are never more Christ-like than when you feel another's hurt and seek to help. And then the next question, the fourth one, what makes you listen? Here's the basis for all ministry: taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. It's important to serve the Lord and serve others. But it's even more important to delight your Lord by spending time with him. Are you so busy serving him that you have no time to love him and listen to him? Charles Wesley wrote, "Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart." And then we'll look into chapter 11 in the book of Luke, and we'll learn about his generosity. If Jesus, John the Baptist, and the 12 all needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? We must put God's concerns first, because prayer is based on sonship, not friendship. You're part of the family. God is a loving father, not a grouchy neighbor. He gives us what we need. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he doesn't become irritated when we ask for help. All right, with that, let's turn our attention and begin today's reading from the New Testament. April 4th, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, through chapter 11, verse 13. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are so upset over all these details. There is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her." Once, when Jesus had been out praying, one of his disciples came to him as he finished and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. Give us our food day by day, and forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this illustration. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You would say to him, "A friend of mine just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." He would call out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and we are all in bed. I can't help you this time. But I tell you this, though he won't do it as a friend, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you what you want, so his reputation won't be damaged. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is opened to everyone who knocks. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Today we'll be reading in Psalm chapter 76, verses 1 through 12. In verses 1 through 6, we learn that God is to be praised. We don't know what military victory is celebrated here, but it brought great glory to the Lord. The enemy's fortresses, soldiers, and equipment were unable to stand before the Lord of hosts. It is encouraging to know that God is for us in the battles of life. And in verses 7 through 12, we learn that God is to be feared. Man's fury does not frighten God in the slightest. As a matter of fact, he uses it to bring himself glory, like a woman wearing a special garment. God is long-suffering, but one day he will arise to judge the wicked. You can count on it. His people must also fear him and be faithful to keep their vows to him. Never trifle with God. Let's begin our reading in Psalm chapter 76. Psalm chapter 76, verses 1 through 12. For the choir director, a psalm of Asaph, to be accompanied by stringed instruments, a song. God is well known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. Jerusalem is where he lives. Mount Zion is his home. There he breaks the arrows of the enemy, the shields and swords and weapons of his foes. You are glorious and more majestic than the everlasting mountains. The mightiest of our enemies have been plundered. They lie before us in the sleep of death. No warrior could lift a hand against us. When you rebuked them, O God of Jacob, their horses and chariots stood still. No wonder you are greatly feared. Who can stand before you when your anger explodes? From heaven you sentenced your enemies. The earth trembled and stood silent before you. You stand up to judge those who do evil, O God, and to rescue the oppressed of the earth. Human opposition only enhances your glory, for you use it as a sword of judgment. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let everyone bring tribute to the Awesome One, for he breaks the spirit of princes and is feared by the kings of the earth. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. Fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies.